You've got your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. While you're finding that, let me make an announcement I forgot to make early on. This is not a good... Well, there's a good thing to it. My children and grandchildren are coming in this week for our Christmas. So that's good for me. Well, it's good for them. It's not so good for my bank account, but it's good for them. And as a result of that, we won't have ladies' Bible class on Saturday. And I will be here Sunday. In fact, they'll all be here. So if you want to see the zoo that I call family, come back Sunday. They'll be here. And some of them will be climbing the walls or swinging from the trees. But
we don't have any trees.
Maybe we should. Also, for ladies' Bible class, we will not be meeting until after the first of the year. So with Christmas the next week, and then January the 1st the next week. So ladies' Bible class, first Saturday in January after the 1st, which would be the 8th, right?
Just out of curiosity, are you still having men's Bible study?
I don't know yet. I'm taking that under advisement. Go get on your exercise equipment.
Try to keep up.
Oh no, that's all recorded. Oops, sorry. I told you this last week. I grew up in one of those Hallmark card kind of families. You talk about Christmas or Thanksgiving to somebody like me, and man, I like the thought of it. There's mom and dad and grandma and grandpas and aunts and uncles and cousins and that kind of stuff. And it's just one of those, good things. In our world though, in here, there are families that didn't have that. And while it's right for somebody like me to mention it and to thank God for it, it's also right for and serious for us to be honest and admit that others of us didn't have that kind of gift. Now, God's still doing good things. God's still working out great things. Yes, we know that and we thank God for that. But we need to be aware that it's not always that way. So what we started in tonight will be the... next to last time. We'll do this one more time because I want us to have as much chance as we can during Wednesday nights to prepare. Some of you going home, you have got to prepare yourself to face whatever you're going to face. And for me, it's just going to face, I'm going to face, you know, what pie is next and what, you know, pass the pie and watch out kind of thing. But some of you are having to prepare yourselves emotionally. Some of you have to even prepare yourselves spiritually to face what you're going to face at home. I want you to know that we're aware of that. The Lord's aware of that. And I think the Lord's given us some things, given us some direction, given us some instruction, given us some wisdom on how to deal with those kind of situations. So, we did it last week, and for some of us, Christmas will be treated like a holy day. Some of you were raised where you will have nativity scenes and you will make a special point of going to a religious service on Christmas Day because you see it as a holy day. And God, in Romans 14, says God bless you for that. And if that's how you choose to honor God on that day, that's terrific. Man, any day I think that anybody's willing to think about Jesus and thank God for Jesus, I'm all for, aren't you? Others of us were not raised treating that day like a holy day. But for most of us, it just became a holiday. Okay? I understand that. That means it's presents and eating and laughing and telling the same old stories over and over again. That's a good thing for a lot of us. For some of us, it gets to be just a holiday. But for others of us in this room, it gets to be that other kind of day. And I'm not repeating it. You can just listen to last week's lesson and hear me say it. I'm not going to say it again. But it becomes the kind of day that's, it robs you of all your joy. It robs you of all the kind of good things that have happened to you through the rest of the week or the rest of the year. I've seen families, people so hurt by family during what would be called a holiday that it was an unholy day is what it became. I want us to be prepared for that. Now, we say it in here all the time. We say it in here all the time, so this is not new to any of us. And a lot of the things we'll discuss, we discussed last week and we've discussed in weeks before that. I can't change how anybody else is going to act. I can't change how mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, aunt or uncle or brother or sister or cousin is going to act. So what do I have to be prepared to do? I've got to be prepared to act like I want to act. I've got to be prepared to be the person that I'm supposed to be. Now, I've heard us, and I know, and we've got some visitors, but the ones that I know you. You know I know, and you know I know what your family situation is, and you know I know what it's like when you go home. And I'm telling you again what I've said before, what all of us have learned. We can't change them, but maybe we can get a grip on us. And we can fuss about what they do, but that doesn't change. That doesn't help me be better. So rather than spending our time fussing, cussing, discussing them, maybe we ought to just focus on getting a grip on us, and preparing ourselves to be the kind of people we want to be in that holiday situation or that holy day situation or in that unholy day situation, right? All right, you got your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we started it last week. He said, we live in the world, but we don't wage war. We do not live, we live in the world, but we do not wage war as the world does. Now, we started a list, and I started teaching before we got finished with the list. But do you remember some of the things we listed? What are some of the weapons? What are some of the ways that folks in the world fight? What do they use? What are their weapons? We talked about anger first, and an extension of that anger is sarcasm. And I'll say it again in case you weren't here. You don't help your case anywhere with anybody by being sarcastic. Well, you just don't understand. That's just the way they talk to me. Did you hear me? I can't control them. I can control me, and that's it. You can't control them. Are they hateful? Are they tacky? Are they sarcastic? Yeah. You can't change them, but you can get a grip on yourself, and you don't have to be that way. So we don't want to use anger. That's one of the weapons that the world uses. What is another weapon that the world uses?
Gossip.
We talked about gossip. What else? Remember? What kind of weapons? Let's make it real simple. When you get in a fight with somebody in your family, what are the things they use to get you?
Your parents.
Yeah. Push your button.
Yeah, what buttons? Yeah, we talked about that. You push your buttons. And we made a big point of it last week. I didn't even have to say it. Y'all just kept yelling it from the crowd. You'll say to me, well, they just know how to push my buttons. Guess what? Hide your buttons. That's right. Cover your button. Don't let them push your buttons. But what are they doing? I want you to think again. When somebody gets in a fight with you, and of course the way to do this is to think about what you've done in the past and just be honest about it. Use anger. What else? What else?
Manipulation.
What else?
Silence.
Retaliation. Yeah, it's that old cold silence, passive aggressive is what the counselors call it, or... Retaliation, whatever they used on me, I'll use on them. That always works great, doesn't it? That always, how's that work for you? Somebody gets mad and blows up at you. Your response is, get mad and blow up at them. Does that help? No, you know what, it dawned on me the other day, I was trying to talk to somebody about this. I said, this is like feeding the beast. Somebody acts like a beast at your house and they're mad and they blow up. Rawr! And so what do? You roar back at them and guess what? That calms them down immediately, doesn't it? No, it just feeds the beast. No. When somebody blows up, that's not how you fight. That's how they fight. That's not how we fight. They lie, we don't lie. They manipulate, we don't manipulate. And since we use manipulate, we didn't use the word, and I'm surprised we didn't get all three of these words. Just, I've lost my markers. If I do these circles and I put the word anger here, you mentioned anger first last week. You want to know what? Tell me what the other two are?
Guilt
and
fear.
You watch it in the first family. The first family ever created by God, they fought this way. Your family is going to fight just the same way. What we do is we don't fight. We don't fight according to the weapons of this world. We don't live that way. Now, I can't stop them. I can't stop them from trying to make me feel guilty. Well, you never come to see me. You just don't ever come to see me. Here, I'm standing right here. Well, you probably won't come again. You got that right. Did I say that out loud, you know? But you have let, and I love you, but you have let people make you feel guilty about things. People will ask you questions, and people ask you questions, and they'll ask you about something, and you'll feel like you've got to explain to them why you can't do what they want you to do. Who says? Where do you read that in the Word of God, or even in Emily Post, where you've got to explain your answer to any question? Somebody says, hey, can you come over to this, to our house, to see this on Thursday? No, I can't. And somebody will say, well, why not? Well, you really don't want to ask me that question. You don't want to ask me that question. Now, if you ask some other people sitting in this room, they'll say, well, because I had this, and I have this, and I had this, and I had this. They'll go to explaining. And eventually, they'll either agree to say yes because you manipulated them into saying yes, or they'll lie to you. Oh, I have a broken leg then. I'm going exercising and I might break my leg on exercise equipment, you know, and I might not be able to go. See how you helped me in my lesson? Now, the point is, I'm trying to say you don't have to explain and you're not being rude by not explaining. Hey, can you come over Thursday night? No. Thank you for asking, but no, I can't. Try it. I promise you cannot believe how relieved you are of the pressure if you will just give an answer and stick to the answer. Jesus even said it. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. You don't have to give some kind of justification for your answers. Ta-da! So when somebody's trying to make you feel guilty, you don't have to let them do that. Well, they just always make me feel so guilty. Guess what you just admitted? You let them make you feel guilty. All right? Guilt leads to what? Fear. And some people use fear. Well, I'm going to die before next Christmas. I'll be dead. You keep messing with me, you will be. Yeah. Now, those asides are just for tension relievers. But people fight with fear. And they either try to intimidate you or make you feel anxious. I guess the thing that I hate it. I hate it when I see it here, when we're talking to folks, and you're going back into a home where there was some abuse, and you go in feeling a dread because you don't know how you're going to be treated. That's not how we fight. That's not how we fight. And I'm going to say this now, and then we're going to finish the rest of the verse so I don't get distracted like I did last week. Y'all listened so well last week, I got me started on a whole different, expanded train of thought on this. But I want you to see the rest of the text, because the text is what matters, not my words or not my insights. Just think, if you have somebody in your past, if you have somebody in that home that has hurt you or that you feel like can damage you, stay away from them. Oh, I don't think I can stay away because it's Christmas and the family. Listen, protect yourself. Protect yourself. One more time, protect yourself. You have a right to do that. You have a right to do that. In fact, nobody else is going to do that. So you protect yourself. Right? And some of you are going back into your family. You're going back into family gatherings and you're feeling all of these things. And it may be because you did something, or maybe you're feeling shame because somebody did something to you. Maybe you're afraid of how they're going to react, how they're going to receive you, what they're going to say to you. And it may be from something simple to them just commenting about how much gray hair you have now or how fat you've gotten over the year. I just pass the Oreos, please, and let's go on. And then sometimes some of you are walking back and you've got a chip on your shoulder already and you're just waiting. Go ahead, say something. Merry Christmas to you too. And you go in there built up, with an anger built up. The moment anything is said, all of a sudden it ignites. That's not how we fight. Jesus says that's... Folks, we live in the world, but we don't fight like that. All right, so keep reading. What do? He says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, the weapons we use have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, I didn't write that, folks. This is not some psychology book. This is not some 101 Christian counseling. It's the Word of God. The weapons that God gives us, the weapons that God gives us to fight will demolish strongholds. Now, growing up, in my education, I was taught that that verse is talking about us confronting those people that teach different doctrines that are not... I hate it when people teach things that are not according to the Word of God. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about the stuff that goes on inside your head, goes on inside your heart. Keep reading. He says, we can, by that divine power, demolish strongholds. Now look at verse 5 and he'll tell you what the strongholds are. What are the strongholds? I heard one. Arguments and pretensions. Now, we touched on this last week. Arguments would include what? What do you think he means, arguments? It's not talking about your mama arguing with you about how to make that certain recipe. No, it's not that kind of argument. Arguments are taking place inside you. What's the argument going on inside you when you walk back into your family setting? Now, I'm making it real specific, I know. And in this place, and maybe we've got too many visitors for us to really feel comfortable doing this, but folks, that's what we do. That's how we benefit, if we can be honest about it. So when you walk back into your family gathering, what kind of argument are you already prepared for? They're going to treat me the same old way they've always treated me. Or, think. They're going to jump me about what I believe. Or,
not fulfilling somebody else's dreams.
Oh man, you're such a disappointment. I mean, we really believed one day that you'd be this. And if you're in a situation where you're the in-law going back, oh, that can be a real big one. We'd hoped our daughter would marry somebody that was tall and thin and handsome and smart. Nope, you got stuck with me. That's not in the Greek, but if you read it real close. All right. The point is, you've got those things already built up. Now, when you're doing that, when you're letting this stuff rage on the inside, what happens? When you walk back into the family, what happens?
You're
wore out from arguing in your head, and the moment they say a word, a certain word can do it.
You're already cocked.
A certain
look
can do it. I used to love it. Used to love it when say, "Well, they looked at me mean." They did? How did they look at you mean? Well, you know, they gave me one of those looks. All right, somebody give me one of those looks. Practice in the mirror. And what you do is you get all that stuff stirred up, any kind of look. And I get it, and I don't know what it is about my face, and I don't want to hear from you, all right? Just to be real honest, I don't need any evaluation in this regard. But I have people ask me all the time, said, why are you mad at me? I'm not. I kind of like you. But you're looking at me mean. I don't know what it is about my face. I look like Santa Claus. How could Santa Claus look mean at somebody, right? You have arguments raging on the inside. Now, you can't. The next word we're going to use is expect. So don't let me forget it. But you have an expectation of trouble. So you walk in prepared to fight because you've already been fighting inside you. All right, on the other side of it is pretensions. The easiest way to say pretensions is it's when you pretend. And folks, there's some of you, bless your hearts, that's exactly how you prepare for family gatherings. Everything is wonderful. Everything is wonderful. And that the problem with that is you don't ever acknowledge that you're part of the problem. Oh, everything's wonderful. Everything is fine. We love each other. Now, it happens in families a lot. Where I've seen it the most in my life is in churches. I love it in churches where somebody gets up at the front, you know. I call them teeth lickers. They stand up at the front and, God bless you. Love everybody. You know. They get those people that can smile and show 27 teeth at once, you know. And they just love everybody. When somebody starts talking like that, put your hand on your billfold. Something bad is going to happen, right? We do that with our families. We walk in like everything's fine, which means we haven't been honest about our part in what we've made this family. Pretensions and arguments need to be demolished. And since I can't change them, where do I have to demolish those?
In
ourselves. In me. Why don't you just get off of it? I can't get somebody off of it. Why don't I just get off of it? You can't make somebody stop bothering you. You can't make somebody start loving you. You can't control them. But you can get control of you. Get a grip on you. Now keep reading. He said, these things set themselves up against the knowledge of God. So seeing yourself as God sees you, seeing yourself as God sees you is one of the ways that you can help start to heal these things. All right? When you start to see yourself as God sees you, when it's the knowledge of God will demolish those arguments and those pretensions, that's those strongholds. You get a hold of how God sees you, and then if your mama doesn't treat you like God does, guess what? Your mama is wrong. Yeah, but she's my mama. I love her. I know she's your mama and you love her, but God knows you better than your mama. And you love Him too, right? Well, it hurts so bad. Now stop a second. If you think I'm teaching you something that'll help you stop hurting, forget it. You're going to grieve. You're going to grieve because you have over your lifetime built up expectations about how you think you ought to be treated. And because you have these expectations, you bring them around, and if somebody doesn't... Oh. I told you, I used to be a preacher, and so I used to travel a lot, and I used to go into a lot of people, different people's homes. And when the preacher comes over, the lady where you're home, where you are, wants to serve you something to eat. And I don't know how many times, women would say it. Well, so brother so-and-so, you're coming over the house, and I made something I've never made before. No. Do not experiment. Ladies, if you've got somebody coming into your house, don't experiment on them. Make some old tried and true that everybody likes stuff, right? Oh, I made you some crab liver pate. What? And I believe what the Bible says, you eat what's been put in front of you. So I have been in some places where they've offered me some things that I ate to the glory of God and for the salvation of that person's soul But I have been in some other homes where I didn't think it was a salvation issue, and I was able to say, oh, no, thank you. No, thank you. And here's what the woman does. Oh, no, you got to have one of these. You got to try one of these. I haven't ever made these, but Tom said they were good. Now, Tom is gone. We don't know where Tom is. He's throwing up in the backyard, you know. You got to try one. And they just keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. Guess what you do?
Fasting.
They have expectations of you're going to eat one of these. You're going to eat one of these. And if you refuse the expectation, what happens? They get depressed on you. All right, now I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you now. I'm talking about us. We go home with these expectations. And if they don't treat us right, if they don't react with the right, like we expect to be treated, and sometimes it can be on the positive or the negative, if they're not as nice to you as you think they should, then you're depressed. Or if they don't treat you mean like you expected, you know what will happen?
You're anxious, wondering when it's going to come.
Or you'll do things to trigger it, because that's all you understand is them being mean to you. What he says here is, you get a hold of these arguments, you get a hold of these pretensions with the Word of God, with the knowledge of God. You don't get a hold of them with your expectations. And real quick, you don't get a hold of them with your impulses. We'll talk more about this next week, but I'm going to say it now, plant the seed, we'll water it later. Some of us take holidays, like Christmas, and we get completely haywire and lose sight of some real simple kind of principles. Now, I love you, so you know if I say this and it applies to you, I'm not being mean to you. But I know people who have, they've got little kids. They've got a baby 3 months old, okay? And I don't know anybody in here that has a baby 3 months old, so I'm not talking about you necessarily, unless you hold up your hand and say, well, my baby's 3 years old, and then I, 3 months old, and then I'll say, okay, I'm talking about you. But somebody has a 3 month old baby, okay? You know what a 3 month old baby's like? They're jello with arms and legs. This is it. Folks, this is the entire thing for a baby 3 months old. And eating stuff. They can stick everything in their face. Okay, now, I've seen people go completely haywire. People that could not pay their rent. People that could not pay for their own groceries. They had to use food stamps. People that could not take care of their responsibilities. I've seen them go completely berserk and go Christmas shop for a 3-month-old baby. Guess what? That baby doesn't know that there is a such thing as Christmas. That baby, in fact, you take that baby, and he could be even 3 years old. Take that three-month-old, turn him into a three-year-old, and take him to see Santa Claus. And how does he react? He'll scream, try and get away, because that scares him. And what will we do? We'll buy more toys. We'll buy more toys that they'll either break or not play with. I learned it early. I did this. That's how I learned it. I had little ones and I decided, you know, you want them to have a Christmas, because Christmas is, it's more important than eating, and Christmas is more important than having a house, and Christmas is more important than having a job. Christmas is the most important thing in the whole world, don't you know? So I bought my kids Christmas with a credit card. Bought them Christmas. Didn't have the money, but bought it with a credit card. On Christmas Day, when I unwrapped the packages for them, because they were too little to unwrap them, I looked around watching them play. Sherry is sitting in a box. And David is beating the box with a wooden spoon that we'd already used on him. You know what I learned about kids? Mamas and dads, would y'all quit? We got to stop it. We got to stop letting the ad men of Manhattan or Hollywood talk us into giving our things to children that they're not going to enjoy. It'll be broken by Thursday. Well, let's see, no, Christmas on Friday. It'll be broken by Saturday. And they'll play with the box. I'm serious. I've seen the same, and I love you, and I don't know anybody doing this, but I'm going to tell you, Those of you who, oh, let's go to Disney. I tell you what, I know we don't have the money. We can't pay the rent. We don't have a car. We can't eat. But I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go to Disneyland. I've seen people do it. And they take a 2- and 3-year-old to Disneyland. Guess what? You will take them and you'll pay that $24 for a Coke because you'll have to have one. Because it'll be hot and humid. And so you'll drink it and they'll whine because it's too hot and you'll carry them. And when you try to introduce them to Mickey Mouse, they'll run screaming away from them. And then when they get 10 and 11 and 12-year-old, they'll say, "Why don't we go to Disneyland?" And you'll say, "We've already been." And they'll say, "I don't remember." I'm saying, what we do is, when it comes to holiday, we start to follow our impulses. I'm going to talk more about it next week and probably make you really mad right before Christmas. But you know this is right. I'll say this and I'll shut up and we'll go back to the text. Folks, a house that's clean and safe and warm is more important to kids than you can imagine. Oh, now they want toys because they'll see it on the silly commercials. But I tell you what, they'd rather have a house than a toy. They'd rather have food on the table. And I'm not talking about junk. I'm talking about food and meals and sit around the table and have a prayer with mom and daddy or with just mama or just daddy as the case may be. There are things we can give our children that don't cost us a dime. Why would we mortgage our futures to give them some junk that won't last through the weekend? And I know you. I love you. Some of you put so much pressure on yourselves for Christmas that you can't relax. I understand. I do. But let's guard it. Impulses is not how you get a hold of yourself, right? Let's get a hold of ourselves. Look what he says. He says, "You take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." Here's how you do it, folks. You put Jesus at the top of this deal, and you decide everything I think, everything I say, everything I do, and maybe even more importantly, everything I say back or everything I do reacting to somebody, I'm going to put it through my Jesus filter. I'm going to run it through Jesus first. You take the thought. Take the thought that led to the argument inside your head. Take the thought that leads to the pretension. Take that thought of shame or guilt, that thought of fear or anxiety, that thought of anger or aggressiveness. Take that thought and get a hold of it. Get a hold of it and take it to Jesus and let Him vote on it. Is this something I should say? Is this something I should do? Is this something I should answer? Or is this some way I should react? Let Jesus be the filter. Let Him make the decision on this thing. Now, what's the problem with this? Somebody tell me real quick. What's the problem in this? It takes time to get used to this. So I'm saying, we don't have long. There's only 10 more shopping days. 9 more shopping days. Now, you can buy stuff on Christmas Day if you have to. I know this. Thank heaven for 7-Eleven. All right, now. I'm teasing. Sort of. All right. What you got to do is practice. Here's what you did. You grew up learning how to act and react from the family where you're going to be. You did some changes when you grew up and got away, but you learned to act and react from the people around you that were not a part of your family. And so now you're taking those foreign things back into your family things, and it really gets all mixed up. How about if you just tried it? I'm just going to try to be like Jesus today. Well, man, if I do that, they'll expect it of me all the time. Yeah, that'd be a cool thing. You know, old Rex, he acted just like Jesus this week, you know? That'd be all right, wouldn't it? I don't know that I can say. I had a guy tell me one time, after he became a Christian, he called me and he said, "Man, I don't know what to do." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, man, after you baptized me," he said, "I lost half my vocabulary." Is that a bad idea? What if you don't say much? Well, you're being too quiet. No, I'm just sitting here appreciating my family. Or appreciating the fact that it's going to be sooner gone. Or maybe you just stand on the front porch, folks. Stand on the front porch and convince yourself, these people are strangers. And I'm going to treat them like I would a stranger. And maybe you make believe they're not your family. I don't know how you do. But you get a hold of that thought. You get a hold of that thought and you take it to Jesus. And when this is what you do. This is how you act. So you start planning it right now. I'm serious, plan it right now. What's the first thing out of your mouth to your mother? What's the first thing out of your mouth to your dad? What's the first thing? Now, take the person that's the biggest, baddest, worst person you're going to meet. What are you going to say to them? Maybe the best thing to do is just to avoid them. But if you are going to say something to them, then practice what you're going to say. And I'm going to say something nice. Even if it says, "Hi, how are you? Happy Merry Christmas." Whatever you're going to say, right? But you practice it. Well, then if they say something bad, what do you do after that? Well, do you know what you've done in the past? How'd that work for you? It wouldn't be called the kind of day we're calling it if it was a good experience, right? So start thinking in terms of not only what you're going to say, but how you're going to react. So when those thoughts come to you, whether it's fear, guilt, anger, causes those arguments or those pretensions, you take those thoughts and you take them to Jesus. "Jesus, I would like to say this to my mother. Is this okay?" Ask Him. Now, the problem is, if you haven't practiced it a little bit, it's hard to do that on the fly. It's hard to do that when you're right in the middle of the family argument. It's hard to do that when you're right in the middle of the fight over who bought the worst present or got the best present. It's hard to do that when you're in the middle of the tension, so practice it ahead of time. Practice it ahead of time. And my advice, when you can't take the time to take the thought and take it to Jesus, take the thought and get out of the house. Go somewhere safe. Go lock yourself in a closet. Go lock yourself in a back bedroom. Go out to the backyard. Go for a jog on exercise equipment. Do something, right? Do something to get away from that. If you don't have time to let Jesus decide, then you get away from them. Now, where do you learn that? Where do you learn that? You learn it from Jesus. That's exactly what He did. He decided what He was going to be like. And then there were times that He got away from the crowd. There were sometimes He rebuked the crowd. Sometimes you got to do that with family. Sometimes He got away from the crowd. Sometimes you bear with what they're saying and just suffer it. And there's other times that you stand your ground and do not let them cross your boundaries and invade your territory. But until you have a grip on how you deal with those things, start thinking in these terms. I am going to be what I want to be. Regardless of how they act, I'm going to try to be like Jesus. And put your Jesus hat on. Put your Jesus heart in. Put your Jesus filter on that mouth. The Jesus muzzle on your mouth for some of us. And so that the words that come out of our mouth were words that He would approve. That He would have said. Things He did. Things we would do. Alright? Alright, let's pray. Father, thank You for tonight, for these folks, for their attention. We thank You for the food. And the folks that prepared it. Thanks for the kindness of the people that pay and make that possible for us. For the people that did the cooking and all that. Thank you so much. But God, thank you above everything else. Thank you for your word. I thank you for my family. I thank you that when I get to go home, I get to be with people that love me and accept me and forgive me and encourage me and support me. But God, I understand there are people here that they don't have that, so I'm asking that you bless them. God, if you could, if some way you could just bring some peace into every family just for a few days. But in those situations, God, where they're people are your enemies and they're willfully against your will and they don't want to be like Jesus, would you help us be like Jesus? Help us talk like Him. Help us act like Him. And God, if we don't have the time or the strength or the energy to try to be like Him, Father, would you just give us a chance to get away from them, get away from those people, so that we don't do ourselves any more damage and we don't let them do any more damage to us. Father, it's in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks, y'all.